The Sharpshooters, episode 47, February 25th, 2006. Everybody to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. We are here now for episode 47 on February 25th, 2006. Has it been a hell of a fine week for you today in the week of wrestling, Marcus?
No.
It hasn't.
Well, you know, there have been some firings and hirings and complaints and blanks.
And then let's not forget about the brawl last night between the Lakers and the Clippers, my team and your team.
It was no brawl.
It wasn't.
Let's go. Let's get into the news.
All right. It's time before we start the news, yes, because Marcus jumped the gun. Let's give out our website. That's thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Woo. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Don't forget you can Skype us at username thesharpshooters or call the number 310-928-6228. Don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley, the Frapper map that Marcus so enjoys. And that's about it. With that out of the way, Marcus, are you ready to start the news, or did I leave something out?
Well, on the poll question of the week, well, probably the next 2 weeks, are you excited about WrestleMania?
You really love that poll because you thought of that question, don't you?
Yeah, but, you know, I have a lot of more ideas that I plan on using.
Well, maybe you should write them down so you don't forget, because every time you come into the bedroom studio, you forget everything.
That's what happens, man. That's what happens.
Now, enough with me and Marcus rambling. We pretty much have a pretty good show for you guys this week. We have news, the SmackDown report, and then we have our top five. And our top five is not a normal top five. Our top five is the top five ways to improve Matt Hardy's character.
Now, this is more of a rant than a top five.
Yes, because we couldn't think of no other top five to do, so we figured we'll do a Matt Hardy. We're going to do a re-character image. But that's later on the show. Let's get right into the news. The first news story that we have is John Bradshaw Layfield is injured.
Oh, no! But I thought he was a wrestling god!
He is. On the SmackDown during the six-man tag, JBL suffered a serious hand injury when Benoit kicked the steps and his hand was trapped inside. He was scheduled to have surgery this past Thursday. The surgery was reported to be a success, and they have a video posted on the website of JBL talking how Benoit tried to end his career, but he's going to need to do more than that to end his career. Pretty much kind of in a way setting up a match for WrestleMania.
Between him and Benoit, which will that'd be all right. Not spectacular, but it has pizzazz. United States title will probably be on
line.
Two federal people, you know.
You know, what can you do?
Well, it's not like Tatanka or nobody.
Let's move on to the next story. We have no more dicks. The dicks have been released from WWE.
So they cut the dicks?
They cut the dicks. They have Bobbitt-sized the dicks. Mm. Chad Wicks and John Tolan were released from WWE on February 22nd. They wish them the best in all their future endeavors. More cuts are expected later on in the next coming of weeks.
Oh.
So.
Well, this should be.
Go ahead, Marcus.
The dicks, well, they never really had a chance, did they?
Apparently, when they were in Ohio Valley, known as the Tolans, they were really good. But here, they had no chance as the dicks because they were just the heartthrobs. You release the heartthrobs, you have to release the dicks.
I thought they released the heartthrobs because the dicks were the heartthrobs.
Nope. My next story.
Well, anyway, let me get back on this one. They never got a chance. I figured them to be better for a TNA style anyway since they were little.
Exactly.
And, you know, because you know how WWE is so against the cruiserweights, they got to have big people, you know.
Now, my question, though, with that last night, more cuts are expected. Will Scotty Too Hotty and Funaki finally get fired, or are we just going to see Snitsky and Tomko fired?
I can see Snitsky actually getting fired.
I can see Tomko.
I don't know. Tomko could. He has purpose sometimes.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but I can also see Scotty's going to make it again.
Well, only reason why Scotty and Funaki has a chance to make it because they're really trying to revamp this cruiserweight division. And I think they're really doing a good job with it since they kind of established the belt.
Who's they gave it to Hurricane Helms?
Well, no, not just because they gave it to Hurricane, but because they're actually putting
the matches. His name is Greg.
I'm sorry. Not because they gave it to Gregory, but because they're actually putting their matches on SmackDown instead of just putting it on Velocity, where not that many people watch it.
That is true.
But they're still screwing the redneck messiah, Jamie Noble.
Also, who needs to be released, Tatanka, Viscera, and loads of others. Hey, Sylvain, if you're going to... I mean, Sylvain's becoming useless.
You know, his character has become useless, but he's actually has pretty decent in-ring ability. I think, and I was reading this article on the website, that instead of releasing all these guys, how about we send them back down to the minors, Ohio Valley, Deep South, rework their characters and bring them back up, because I'm pretty sure the dicks could work someplace, but I mean, why release these people and let them go to TNA and become big stars?
Money.
I guess.
Money.
So I guess that's enough on our release.
I ain't paying you to play the minor leagues. I play to be a big time.
All right, let's move on to the next story. It's WWE Bite This. WWE posted on their site that Bite This has not been canceled. Also, the producer and the heartthrobs were not released because of their episode on Bite This. Apparently, they are taking a hiatus to redo the product, and as soon as it will become available again, they will inform us. Pretty much as we reported on the last
episode. Bite This was canceled.
Well, they're taking it off to rework.
Let me tell you what they probably take it up. They're going to change the name. They're going to probably get rid of Ty Gritchell on the show. The producer's been fired. And, it's, you know.
No, only thing that they're going to do probably on Bite This, they're going to make it edited. It's not going to be live no more. Or, you probably know, so. Had a live show. Because I think what happened was they were getting too many, I love TNA Rock calls and all that good stuff. And, you know, you don't really want that on there. You don't want to promote the other promotions on your show.
Yeah, but, you know, who really hurt, you know, the mainstream WWE fans may hear of TNA, if TNA's better. But do they really turn to it?
But then another,
because TNA ratings haven't.
But another thing, the father's son-in-law was upset with that because they used his real name on a website, so that's why it got cut off. It's all Triple H doing.
It's all Triple H. Triple H is evil.
Are you ready to move on to the next story?
Let's go to the next story, because this one I have nothing else to say.
This is a big story, because it could actually shake the presence of the wrestling world right
now. You mean shake it like a peanut in a jar?
Yes. Shake it like peanut butter and jelly.
Goldberg. You don't shake peanut butter and jelly.
Goldberg is in negotiations with TNA. Contracts between Goldberg and TNA are reported to be going very well. Goldberg is reported to be excited to work with TNA because he doesn't want to be remembered for his match against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and he really wants to stick it to Vince McMahon.
Who wouldn't want to be remembered for that stupid
I don't know.
Match? That was one of the worst matches ever. When it just seemed like both guys just took a dump in the ring.
They were both leaving. If he does join TNA, they will probably make him the centerpiece, and he will only wrestle a couple of matches unless Spike TV adds more money to the offer to make him stay longer. Now, I'm not a Goldberg fan, personally, but I know there's a lot of, there's like a legions of Goldberg fans out there.
That's those guys that be chanting, Goldberg.
I prefer Gilbert.
Gilbert was the man, and I'm shocked he isn't in the Hall of Fame yet. Gilbert, a.k.a. Christopher Daniels, was great. He had the little streamers and everything, but let's not get on.
We're not talking about Gilbert. We're talking about Goldberg.
Gilbert, because I can go all night on Gilbert.
To me, Goldberg was very one-dimensional. Only thing that anytime I see Goldberg, only thing I think of is a fake Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's all I think of. He's very limiting in the ring, and then I will always remember him for that WrestleMania match because him and Brock Lesnar took a big dump in the ring. And the thing is, Goldberg never did a match that impressed me anyway, so that's why he has less leeway compared to a Brock Lesnar, who I can forgive more for that match.
You will forgive Brock. Well, anyway, you know, Goldberg, yeah, you go to TNA, I think I can increase their ratings, and hopefully they can give them more time or something with Spike. That's the big problem with TNA. Not the wrestlers. They don't need another old Sting kind of guy, you know, Goldberg Sting. You don't need to keep bringing in people from old generations and stuff, bringing in. They have the talent. All they have to do
is give them the time to display. And I think, hopefully, Spike TV realizes, I mean, you don't really need a big name to have a promotion because, granted, WWE was around, but once they got Hulk Hogan, they were big. But then also, they had time. If you only give somebody an hour to develop a show, you're not going to be able to get all the storylines across. You're not going to be able to push the new talent because you have so much you have to try to condense in.
Jam in that 1 hour.
Exactly.
Plus commercials, which is like a 45-minute show.
Now, it's time to move on to the next story of someone maybe burning their bridges to where they came from. Stacy Keibler's future. Stacy's future with the WWE has been brought into question. Her contract is set to expire in the coming weeks, and there's a lot of doubt that she may not resign with the WWE. She appeared on the Mark and Kim show on Coast 103.5 here in Los Angeles and said, since appearing on Dancing with the Star, she has received a lot of television, movies, and endorsement offers. She says, for the past 7 years, she has been touring with a circus and also was upset because she has to pick up the tab on her room and on her rental car, and she receives no health benefits. She also mentions that the only person that makes any type of money in the wrestling world is Triple H.
Ooh!
Now, I don't know much about Stacey, except I know that she came out, she had long legs, she was somewhat
cute. She was a Nitro girl. You know, she had a great history. Baltimore Ravens.
I'm sorry to say, Stacey doesn't strike me as a great actress because she could barely do promos on wrestling. So, So, I mean, I'm just saying, she really is burning her bridge. Wrestling is what got her on Dancing with the Stars that made her, gave her some type of celebrity, whatever that's called.
Celebrity?
I don't know what celebrity is, but maybe. But you know what?
Isn't it just called celebrity?
No, I put it this way. If it wasn't for WWE, she would never been on Dancing with the Stars. If she wasn't on Dancing with Stars, she would never had these offers.
Yeah, but wrestlers do deserve health benefits and stuff.
They do.
And I don't think they should have to pick up their tabs and stuff. Vince has the money.
I just feel, has the money.
I mean, because look, you travel, you have to travel to keep your job. I think he should have to pay for all the tabs.
I just think, though, after Stacey, to go on a national radio show and make those type of comments, and especially to make comments about Triple H. And we all know how much power Triple H has.
Everybody knows he's the only one that makes money because he earns the money night in and night out when he's, I should just say, banging Stephanie McMahon.
But I'm just saying, though. You know what? When Triple H made his return from his hiatus, a lot of people were happy. I was one of them. Because Raw just doesn't seem right without Triple H. And to me, it's more comedy that he's a mid-card act right now. Of course, he's main event.
No, he's a main event again.
But still, when he was starting off Raw, that's just great. When you can start off an episode of Raw with Triple H, you know you're in for a good night. Is that enough on Stacey Keibler?
I want to know, is it fact that Triple H is the only one making money?
I don't believe that.
I don't know. That actually is believable because...
Well, I would say I believe there's fact that Triple H is making the most money.
Of course.
But I think everybody's making money from it. I understand they get pretty healthy contracts. And I'm pretty sure that Vince pays for some medical expenses, just not all medical expenses.
Yeah, but there's no, like, retirement plan.
Save your money. That's how Christian was able just to walk away from WWE, because he saved up his money.
But how you gonna save your money when you got paid for those hotel rooms?
They gotta stop being athletes, Martin. You get a frequent flyer travel card. I mean, hotels don't cost that much. And then you can just write it off as a tax expense because it's a work expense. You need that. It can work out for you. That's the problem with Stacey Keibler was that she wasn't making that much money because she's just a valet, not a performer.
A valet? Wait a minute. That's a terrible thing to say.
Marcus, we have
been... She's posed in many magazines.
Marcus.
Just a valet.
Marcus, okay. We are 13 minutes into the news. Let's move on.
All right.
There's a new promotion that has signed with CBS. Adrenaline Unleashed has signed a contract to be aired on CBS. This is set to air in the spring of 2006. Adrenaline Unleashed is, I believe, and I could be wrong, is that special that we were talking about that MTV was doing with the wrestlers. So, another promotion. They have national syndication. How does this shake up the ranks for TNA and WWE?
Man, why is anybody trying to get into wrestling all of a sudden?
I don't know.
It just seems like there's every week there's a new promotion.
I don't think there's going to be an Adrenaline Unleashed report unless we watch it and it's entertaining enough. We might mention a little thing, but...
We going to do an Adrenaline Unleashed report.
No.
Is it coming on CBS?
Yeah.
Channel 2. Well, you know, not CBS. Channel 2. CBS, the main station.
Yes, supposedly. Wow. They signed a contract with that.
Wow.
Do you have anything else left to say on this?
I just got to say, wow, that's big. CBS, man, the most watched network.
CBS.
And Chad Gumbel tells me
everything. CBS, you should have took TNA. That's just my opinion.
That would have been the smartest thing.
That's just my opinion.
Because they have the X Division.
No, and speaking of TNA, they're making moves. Samoa Joe. There are reports that he has signed a long-term deal with TNA. They believe that the contract is between 2 and 5 years, and he has received a substantial raise. You lock Samoa Joe up, he can be the face of the company.
That's what I've been wanting to see in the news for so long. Locking Samoa Joe up, not letting Vince McMahon swoop in and steal probably the most talented wrestler in TNA right. Well, not the most talented, but One of the best.
One of the best.
One of the most diverse. He could take it on the mat. He can do the X Division stuff, you know, somewhat of a high flyer.
I just think...
And he's intimidating.
What TNA has going for him, let's discuss this real quick since it is the last news story. You have your Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You have your Christopher Daniels, your father figure, as you like to call him. AJ Styles. You have great tag teams. You have America's Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the most entertaining tag teams. When you can crack somebody upside the head with a bottle, that's great. Mm-hmm. You have the Naturals, who haven't been used much, but they're there. You also have the established stars as Rhino, Christian. People know of Team 3D. These guys who people know of and they can associate with a name. And then you bring in Sting and maybe Goldberg, and you have a legitimate challenger if they have the time. Against WWE, which is great because it makes WWE produce a better product. Look at SmackDown. I remember three months ago, they weren't doing a damn thing with SmackDown. Yeah. Now SmackDown is the best show that is produced in WWE.
Yeah, the best wrestling brand, probably, period, right now. But also, what you failed to bring up, I like saying when you failed, like, is the whole process of... They also, what TNA has going for, they have a lot of young talent. Very young. Austin Aries. Remember that one match on Against All Odds? Matt Bailey is 26, the oldest guy in the ring.
When you have a core division that everybody's under the age of 26,
mm-hmm.
you're doing something right.
I mean, all they got to do for TNA, fire Don West, get more time, and they on the verge
of being
number one.
I hope Don West ever getting fired, because he's been there a long time.
He got to go!
I just want to let you guys know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have reviews of the AJ Styles DVD and the Christopher Daniels DVD.
I didn't know we're reviewing this.
We watched them, why not?
Yeah, because we did go out and pony up some dough.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to take a short break, and it's going to be a short break, and we'll be back with the SmackDown report for Friday night. Damn it, I love that song. We're back for the SmackDown report.
Every week you have to say you love
it. I'm going to have to say that I love that song.
Does it put you in the SmackDown mood?
It puts me in the SmackDown mood. And thank God this week we are not invaded by Mike Tenay and Don West again.
Yes, that's good.
That's always good when these cats don't show up. But now, enough of our rambling. It is now time for the SmackDown report from Richmond, Virginia. It aired Friday night.
Woo-hoo!
You know, normally I don't put where it was located at, but hell, I did this time. This show opened up with Randy Orton, who defeated Rey Mysterio at the pay-per-view.
Shouldn't we refresh the No Way Out results, or?
Nah.
They pretty much.
They kept. So he comes out to the ring. He says that he has kept his promise to go to WrestleMania, and he also has shattered Rey's dream to go to WrestleMania because it was his destiny. He feels that Kurt Angle's victory against The Undertaker was pure luck, and there is not enough luck in the world for Kurt Angle to defeat him. And then he will follow his family tradition of being the best of their generations.
Now, before
I go to what happened after this, Marcus, how did you feel about what Randy Orton had just said?
Okay, first, I don't know about his grandfather being the best of his generation.
I don't know about Cowboy being the best.
No, I'm saying Cowboy. No, his grandfather I have no clue about. I never even heard of him. But Cowboy Bob Orton, I'm going to say he wasn't the best of the generation, although it was before my generation. But I'm just saying, I just couldn't see it.
If I was right, he was Roddy Piper's bodyguard.
I'm saying, you know, Roddy Piper had to beat at least a little. And then Randy Orton continues to say it's his generation.
It's his generation.
And it could be. He is like 24 years old.
But just like how we were talking about TNA's young talent, Randy Orton is one of the young talents for WWE because he's 25, 26. He's around that area. I'm not really sure.
Other than the Spear Squad, he's probably the youngest guy in the business.
Chris Masters, Marcus.
Oh, yes.
He's 24. I mean, come on, man. Just think about it. Now, can we move on to what happened after he finished talking?
Let's go!
Someone felt disrespected by Randy Orton's comments and probably by his actions for the past couple of weeks. Chavo Guerrero finally adds himself to this picture. He attacks Randy and lands the Three Amigos and the Frog Splash and then escorted out by security, yelling that the Guerreros are the best family and don't forget about me, Chavo.
No, he just said it like this, like, you forgot, Randy! You forgot about me!
and my whole thing was about this is...
They're still exploiting Eddie's death.
No, they're not exploiting Eddie's
death. They still are.
No, but not Blaine. They didn't really mention Eddie as much as they have in the past.
They mentioned like 5 times.
Not the point.
Well, Michael Cole did.
But if you're going to exploit Eddie, at least let a family member be a part. It's about damn time that Chavo Guerrero has done this.
Yes, he moved in right into this picture.
But just like how the email said, how do you supposed to get better if someone else is chanting somebody else's name?
How do you? I mean, that's just terrible.
So, you have anything else to add? Should we move to the first match of the night?
Well, bravo, Chavo, for getting the storyline. And I think this is probably going to lead to a match between Orton and Chavo. So Saturday night main event, because it's an interpromotional show, I believe, in which that's where that can happen.
Is WrestleMania in April?
Yes, April 2nd.
Yep, Randy Orton, Chavo. I would agree with that one. Right. Now it's time for the first match of the night, the Tag Team Championship match that Matt Hardy and Tatanka earned against Eminem at the No Way Out pay-per-view. Now, before I get into the highlights of this match, I was reading an article on a website.
You didn't stop reading, man.
And this article kind of helped us come up with our top five today. But also, wouldn't it be a cool storyline, I told Mark, if Matt Hardy went around looking for a partner instead of trying somebody out each different week? Because
no, you mean trying somebody out this week and looking for a partner?
Yeah.
You said he shouldn't be looking for a partner.
He should be. Because no one's going to ever take you serious of Tatanka being his partner.
Nobody takes Tatanka serious. He should be the number one guy they should fire.
Know what's bad, Marcus?
What?
I would take Heidenreich more serious than Tatanka.
At least Heidenreich has cred. He did fight The Undertaker.
All right, Mark.
Tatanka is out of shape.
Let me go over this match.
And still act like he's from a Florida Sentinel or something.
All right. What happened in this match? Before the match start, they show highlights from No Way Out and how Matt Hardy and Tatanka defeated Eminem. Then the match started off. Tatanka and Hardy flipped Nitro out of the corner. And once again, Nitro's one of the best flippers in
the
business.
That was nice. That was nice. When they pulled his leg and he flipped, I was like, wow.
Tatanka then throws Nitro on top of the turnbuckle and kicks him until he is crotched by the top rope. There's no business for him to do that.
Mm-mm.
Melina then distracts the ref, and Mercury pulls a rope down, sending Tatanka flying out of the ring.
And that was a hell of a fall by Tatanka.
Yes.
He's a dupe.
Then Eminem proceeds to double-team Tatanka outside the ring by landing a double suplex. Eminem continues to use quick tags and double team maneuvers on Tatanka inside of the ring. Right there, that was good fundamental tag team work that Eminem was showing, and showed that Nitro had been practicing wrestling moves.
Nitro was in more than Mercury in this
match.
Yes,
he was.
For the first time, maybe ever. That's Mercury, he does the hair thing.
Yes.
Right?
Tatanka finally makes a tag to Hardy, and he gets inside the ring and cleans house. He lands a side effect, but only gets a 2 count because Nitro breaks the count. Eminem then attempts the snapshot, but Tatanka breaks the snapshot up. Hardy and Tatanka land a double team backbreaker, but only achieve a 2 count because Nitro makes a save. Hardy goes for the twist of fate. Melina grabs his legs and allows Mercury to roll Matt Hardy up with a pin with a handful of types for the win.
There's no evidence he had a handful.
The camera angle wasn't there, but according to Taz and Michael Cole, there were a handful of times.
Now, all I say, this was actually a better match than what they had at the pay-per-view. But still, I was nervous for a moment that Eminem, that's what this match captured. I thought Eminem might actually lose this match. Because I was nervous that, like, please don't let them lose to Tatanka and Matt Hardy. Anybody else, Matt Hardy's fine. Can't lose it to Tatanka. Tatanka's back, but he ain't gonna be back and he shouldn't win those titles. I'm sorry, he shouldn't win a single belt. He should never even taste gold. He shouldn't be in the presence of the gold. They shouldn't even hit him with the belt. That's how much he should never be back.
You know what made me mad, too, is when Taz brought up the fact that Tatanka had that undefeated streak back in the
day. For 2 years.
When Tatanka was in shape, though.
Yes, and remember, they also brought up Tatanka was a former tag team champion. I can't remember his partner. I'm going to say Luger. Because that's really the only major storyline he was with, the Million Dollar Man and all that.
All right, so is this enough on this match?
That's enough on this match.
All right, It's time to move to the next thing that happened. This is between Paul Burchill and Regal. Me and Marcus felt that we couldn't correctly describe what happened between these guys, so we decided we'll play a little clip for you. So this is Paul Burchill and William Regal.
Look, I hate to be negative, but I'd like to read you a letter from Jenny in New England. It says, "Dear Mr. Regal, I was watching SmackDown last week and saw that Paul Burchill was dressed as a buccaneer. Could you please help him from embarrassing himself? And most importantly, embarrassing you as Burchill's former tag partner. I'd hate for your reputation, Mr. Regal, to be besmirched by a man pretending to be a pirate. Your number one Regal fan, Jenny. P.S. You're gorgeous and delectable. Look, do you realize how this makes me look? Do you realize how it reflects on me? I took you under my wing, you know. I mean, do you honestly think that these people care about pirates and swashbuckling on SmackDown? It's madness. Why don't you just stop it now? Come back to how you used to be. You're a bloody hooligan, not a pirate. Bloody nonsense. Absolute tripe. Never heard such rubbish in all my life. What's that? What is it? It's not a bomb, is it? It's not a bloody bomb, is it? What? Bloody hell, fire! Bloody hell, not!
Let the hellfire myself, I know, and Marcus probably would agree, I do want swashbuckling on SmackDown.
It has to happen.
And it's starting, but I still want that first mate.
Why do you need a first
mate? He needs to have a first mate and a ship. I mean, he's already came up with the bombs. Why was Rico holding the bomb after he realized it was a bloody bomb? I do not know. And you might not have heard, but what happened after the fuse finished firing up, Burchill came over and just said, boom.
No, what is Burchill's logic of not being a hooligan anymore?
I don't know. And who the hell is Jenny to say that we don't want swashbuckling?
You know, that was William Regal in the third person.
Yes. Jenny, if you want to, please send us that letter letting us know why you feel swashbuckling is not belonged on SmackDown.
It's belonged because it's fun and happy. It's better than the junior division.
Exactly. And like Marcus said, and I totally agree with him, you know what? You can say what you just told me.
Well, I'll tell you.
About Burchill, what's going to happen when he comes out finally to have a match.
Oh, I feel Burchill will get a very, very good reaction when he finally comes out for a match. I feel by letting him just stay backstage, not talk as much, but just act like nothing is wrong with him being a pirate. It's just like, I'm a pirate, so what?
But, okay, Marcus' question
would be pretty big.
Do we want a good pirate or a bad pirate? Or can you even define if the pirate is going to be good or bad?
Well, the pirate has to be evil.
Yeah, but
he has to cheat. But what he has to have his finish move has to be X marks the spot or something.
Marcus, the finishing move has to be called Davy Jones Locker.
It has to be something.
But the point is, the fans, because you can't boo this guy. It's funny.
It's entertaining, man.
It's like the boogeyman. But Burchill can wrestle.
Burchill has talent, and that's why I'm not more. That's why if it was anybody else, say if they gave Sylvain this gimmick of being a pirate. I wouldn't be looking forward to swashbuckling on SmackDown. No way. Let me get a voice. Say G. Snitsky, somebody that has no lick of talent whatsoever, became a pirate.
You know what? You can't fire Tomko now. Tomko makes the perfect first mate. You put a rag on him and a patch, he looks like a fucking pirate.
You fire Tomko.
And this is no, why. No, look. You have Snitsky and Tomko, and they can be his swashbuckling crew.
They're on Raw.
I know.
And they're going to be fired.
All right. Is this enough talking about swashbuckling?
Swashbuckling needs to happen soon, man. All right. I want to see a match.
All right. Now the next thing is, word truly can't describe. It's a boogeyman match versus the Dicks with Booger T doing commentary. Better yet, of us doing our Booger T impression, we called up Booger T and we had him just re-say what he said.
Reenactment.
Of what he did on SmackDown.
Well, it's not really a reenactment if we just tip it off TV.
Yeah, so pretty much here it goes, Booger T, and we'll be back.
And this is a little long.
It's very long.
It's long because Eric felt that for some reason this is the most undescribable Booger T's comment ever, because he makes comment after comment against the Boogeyman, against Taylor.
Everybody. And so pretty much we're about to play that clip for you right now, and we'll be right back.
What you said, sit down and shut the hell up. If I wouldn't be a former if it wasn't for Kenny Long.
That's
if you
right.
Understand what I'm saying. It's everybody know about the conspiracy. Everybody know about Kenny Long, you know, trying to do what he can, you know, the break Booker T conspiracy.
But it's
guess what? It ain't just like you in his hand said that don't fit.
it's just not fitting.
You know what I'm saying?
The dreads, man. The dreads look good, though. They look good.
It's all because of Kenny Long. Never make no difference, man.
Conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
How is it a conspiracy? Why wouldn't Kenny Long want you to be champion?
Make Booker T go out there and work at 80%. Even though I'm better than 90% of the guys in this business at 80%.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, right, that's all. What the hell's going on here? What a tag team part. What a tag team at? Get them out of here. Let's get this thing crunk. You know, I'm sick. I'm sick to my mind. I'm sick. I'm about to lose my cool, man.
You seem like you're bugging out over here.
This is not a tag team match. It is a handicap match.
A handicap match?
Handicap.
What the hell is this? Handicap match. Oh, hell no.
What's going on?
You see what I'm saying? This is Kenny Long to come to
the
right here.
I don't know who knows.
This guy got an agent. Who signed this guy? I heard this guy can't even leave the country because he didn't got passport. He ain't got no driver's license. This guy ain't got purpose there. Why is he in this company? It's all about Teddy Long.
Well, he's a pretty good wrestler.
You understand what I'm saying? See, Teddy Long.
Booker, speaking of the boogeyman, did you and Sherman ever get the trunk cleaned out of your car with all those worms in
them? I don't know who did that. This guy here, he better have something to do it. You know, when I was a little kid, you know, people told me about the boogeyman.
Yeah.
They say under your bed.
Yeah,
they say he's in the closet or something. You know, they told me about the boogeyman. I said, I hope he in my closet. I hope he in my bed. Because I'm going to knock his punk ass out. That's what I'm talking about. See, Teddy Long ain't nothing but a bootlegging, licking, butt dancing, little puppet running around here, man.
That's
always
right.
Taking dives.
But Booker,
always doing what people tell me to.
But Booker, what
see,
is
it? See, black every Booker
team. But what's the big deal?
Tell me what nobody tell me to do.
What's the big deal about having a boogeyman in the matchup? Look at his dental hygiene.
This guy from a black hole. What is a black hole? What's it located?
It's actually the bottom.
Is it anywhere near the bottomless pit?
Well, he's from the bottomless pit, yeah.
I don't care what it is.
Enough for nothing. The dicks are trembling.
Look at him.
The dicks are definitely trembling. Look at him. He's got a cliff sticking on his head.
The hell, look at him.
Oh, my God.
Going through this voodoo crap. Well, I don't know what the deal is, but my lawyers is working on Teddy Long. We gonna get his punk ass out. We gonna get him by the office, no matter what we gotta do.
What does that have to do with
Boogeyman? He's not a role model, baby. Why is he up there?
This guy's not a role model like me.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm a businessman. I'm a businessman. I got the suit on. I got $1,000 suit on. Look at me, man.
I heard a story about a kid getting suspended
for the rest of the year for coming to school with worms in his teeth.
I read about that online. I heard about that.
Somebody do something like guys like this.
Uh-oh.
Guys conjuring up, all these. I don't know what you call this guy. Look at him. I don't know if he's a monster.
I'm not surprised. Teddy Long hired Michael Cole, so of course he hired
Boogie Man. But I'm going to get it straight. Teddy Long ain't nothing but a boot licking, locking, butt dancing, little puppy.
Oh, my God. Look out now.
Look at this. This is ridiculous. This is exactly how you gonna bring a monster.
How you gonna bring a monster in this thing?
A guy who has no birth certificate. We don't know what he is. Do this guy have a mother? What is his mother?
I can't do anything. I don't know about the family.
We gotta find out
about
this. Look at that.
Look at that.
That's not a wrestling move.
Well, he won.
Did this guy go to the Boogie Man wrestling school?
He won the match.
What did he learn that? What did this guy learn that?
Freaky man.
Boogie Man.
Wait a minute, baby. I think he's just leaving.
Boogeyman's leaving. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
He's leaving. He's leaving.
He better get his punk ass.
Wait. He's coming this way.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know where they're going.
All right, so that was the interaction between Booker T, Charmel, Michael Cole, Taz, the Boogeyman, and the Dicks.
And let me elaborate on this.
But before we go, let me say how the match ended, because unfortunately they really didn't call this match. On the Dicks' last appearance ever on SmackDown, Boogeyman holds one of the Dicks up with a chokehold, slams him down for the 1-2-3. That's how the match ends. Squash match.
And he just spits words his mouth. It was supposed to be a tag match, they thought, but it was really a handicap match. It's just Tay Long's doing as Booker T so helpfully elaborate. Booker T was out of his mind on this one.
The conspiracy theory, all the theories, the boot licking, leg licking, whatever he
the
calls it.
The puppeteer who keeps falling off the string. Where is the bottomless pit? Is it near the black hole or the other way around?
Yeah, no, because he said he's from the black hole. Taz was like, no, he's from the bottom. Is that close to the black hole? It's like
and it just continued to go. And he just wouldn't. It's just like, I don't know who he was feuding with. Was it Teddy Long? Or was it the Boogeyman? It seemed like he was against everybody on this joyous occasion. And we know the clip is long, and it does feel lazy of us to not describe
everything. I don't think it feels lazy. I think the clip is more enjoyable than us trying to reenact. Because our reenactions are really bad.
Yes, I know that. But I'm just saying, look. You can't describe this. This was crazy. This was Booker T pretty much at his best. Charmel taking shots at Michael Cole. Really no reason at all. Taz, the whole news article of the worm story about the kid overseas who came to school with worms in his mouth and then got suspended or kicked out of school or something for having worms in his mouth. And then Taz was so jubilant. Oh, I heard about that story. And Booker was into it. And it was just probably some of the best mic work Booker T has done as commentator ever. Because he was just out of control. They gave him a little headset. He gave them a big performance.
And then Boogeyman coming dumping worms on the announce table for no good
reason.
There
was no reason for that.
Except for Michael Cole and Taz. Look at those worms. What are they doing?
Michael Cole looked pissed.
Yes, he did.
So because they have to work through that the whole night.
So you know what? We really don't need to comment on this anymore because it speaks for itself.
Yes, I think that's Booker T's best commentary work ever done.
It had to be because it took me to want to put the whole thing in the show.
Why did you? I told you could edit it down some.
Marcus,
you can just take bits and pieces.
Marcus, tell me exactly where in that point could you have edited the show down?
I don't know.
Exactly what you could. It was so everything was just had to flow. So after that, it's time for Rey Mysterio to address the crowd about what happened at No Way Out. He gets in the ring and he says that he is happy that Eddie is going to the Hall of Fame. On SmackDown, right after the Burchill moment, they re-aired the Eddie Guerrero thing saying that he's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. Rey Mysterio then admits that Randy got into his head and he put his shot at WrestleMania on the line and he lost. He feels that he has let everyone down and wants to apologize to everyone. Teddy Long comes down to the ring and says that he cannot change what happened.
This bootlegging puppet falling off a string man gonna walk down here.
And he airs the video what happened at No Way Out.
There's no evidence on that video, Randy Orton.
He said that Randy Orton is now in the main event, even though that he did cheat and he can't subtract him from that, but he can do some addition. Since Randy cheated to defeat Ray, he is going to add Ray to the main event at WrestleMania and make it a triple threat match.
Now, this is where I'll be defending on the behalf of one person. Kurt Angle. Yes. Why does he have to fight two people that are very competitive, high-quality wrestlers in one night? I mean, he couldn't beat John Cena. How could he beat Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio on the same night? Sarcastically.
Later on, I'm going to think they're going to even screw him even more. When we get later on to the show notes, I'm going to point out my point where I think he's going to be screwed.
All right, but anyway, I don't feel Taylor Long should be able to do this. I mean, what's the whole point of that match at No Way Out in which he defeated Randy Orton?
It makes sense, though, because Randy Orton did cheat the win, but then where it doesn't make sense is that people cheat all the time, but I think because they're just going off the emotional thing, and after I look at that footage, it is the referee's fault. He should have his job. He did not look back at all.
Jimmy Kadoris didn't. No, he was just in the worst position. He looked like he just slid. Why did he turn this way? And when he could easily looked at both ways and then kick Randy Orton off the road.
Now, the next thing that happened to me, which is really shocking at following the Rey Mysterio thing, is they aired a video package of Mark Henry. The video underlying message is that you cannot beat him, and he is the Royal Strongest Man. My concern right here is that I don't care. Do you care about Mark Henry?
No, he hasn't been. He hasn't even had a match since he fought Kurt Angle for the title. No, since the tag match between Undertaker and Kurt Angle against Mark Henry and, gosh, I can't remember. Oh, bollocks, I'm going to use that word. I can't remember who is. Yeah, bollocks. who his partner was, but it doesn't matter.
Okay,
well, I didn't care about this. Why did it take place?
I'll put it this way. The Ron Killings thing was more informative to me than Mark Henry. I don't care.
I don't care. We know his story. Yeah. We know he's a failed Olympian. We know he won the World's Strongest Man competition about 100 years ago. We know he can dunk a basketball. We know he looked like you.
But business picks up after they air that video because Crystal Marshall walks down to the ring in the beige trench coat. The announcers point out that she was the runner-up for Miss California and also a Barker Babe.
I thought she won. She was the runner-up. She was runner-up.
But she was a Barker Babe, which means she worked on Price is Right.
Yes, which is hard to do to get sexually harassed by Bob Barker day after day out.
She is here to plug the Divas 2006 magazine. She says, we always see her conservative side, but tonight she is going to show her other side. Right there, she is interrupted by Jillian Hall.
Who apparently has her own music.
That says that the people do not want to see Crystal, but they want to see JBL. Crystal points out that Jillian is also in the magazine, and how about giving the fans a sneak peek? Jillian then calls Crystal a bimbo. Crystal slaps her and rips off her coat, giving us that sneak peek. Then she proceeds to take off her coat and provide her with the sneak peek that she promised.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, I thought Jillian was very good on the mic.
No!
Compared to some of these other wenches that's on
Raw. It was the worst acting segment in the history of professional wrestling, period.
I found no problem with that.
Terrible acting. I mean, it was just the worst. Couldn't they have done something else?
No.
They could have done something. This was terrible. She came out to the ring. You're descripting and you're saying sounded more real and more emotional, like it had something behind it, than what Crystal and Jillian Hall both had to say. This was stupid, and hopefully it don't lead to a brawl pain. Well,
it's going to lead to a brawl pain.
It does lead to a brawl pain match. But I'm just saying, hopefully it don't lead to a regular wrestling match. That's what I mean.
All right, since Mario doesn't like that, we're going to move on to something.
Terrible acting.
Yeah, it's not about...
They get the golden
when you
break.
When you have half naked women in the ring.
They could have just came out. It just got naked.
It doesn't matter about the acting.
They don't need to talk.
I will take bad acting for half naked nudity.
Anyway. They don't need to talk. They could have came out naked. Yeah. Half naked. Just be like, hello. But they can do a pole vault shield and be like, hello.
Like how you probably, how probably you wanted Batista to come out naked. Because they gave us a Batista update right here. They showed the footage from No Way Out where Dave made his appearance. He talked about missing the ring, getting the fans, said that he is rehabbing as hard as possible, and he will be back ASAP.
That speech to me just told me one thing. Dave, you need a hobby. I mean, I miss the fans. I do all that. All right, Dave. Find something better to do. I mean, you don't have to tell us. I mean, SmackDown is coming to Washington next week. I mean, you can wait till then at least.
He's going
to
be there. Sure? I'm pretty sure.
Sure it's Washington, yeah.
All right, so now it's time for a cruiserweight title defense. Gregory Helms versus Psychosis.
I was really hoping for Super Crazy, but apparently I get Psychosis.
You know what? I felt this was a good match. They complement each other really well.
It was okay, but it's just that the one problem with the cruiserweights, when you say cruiserweight, I want to see somebody go over the top rope at least once. One dive.
He did.
That was no dives.
Anyway,
there was no single suicide dive or jump over the top or not even a leg drop off the top rope.
Let me go over the match then. Helms pounds on Psychosis in the corner, but Psychosis battled back with a head scissor takedown and a short clothesline. Helms whips Psychosis into the corner and charges after him. Psychosis leg hops onto Helms, but Helms tosses Psychosis out into the ring, beats him up on the outside also. Helms lands a suplex and a leg drop and then applies a headlock. Psychosis battles back and land a failed pin attempt. Helms work over Psychosis' back. Helms then attempts the face crusher on his knee, but is reversed and Psychosis lands a spin kick. Only gets a two count. Psychosis attempts that spin kick once more. Helms dunks and then he lands his face crusher to his knee. Two count. Psychosis climbed the top rope, but Helms climbs after him, attempts a suplex, but it is blocked, and Psychosis pushes him down to the mat. Psychosis is about to jump off, but the ref is in the way. Helms bounces off the ropes, crotches Psychosis. He rolls Psychosis up and puts the legs on the ropes for the
win. How many times are you going to say Psychosis? Every other word, Psychosis.
He was in the match. I had to say
I know, name. But you could have said, you know, Psychosis got to move here, and then... Well, he did. But you didn't say him as much as you said Psychosis. Every other word was like Psychosis.
Indeed.
And Helms cheated and got the win. Exactly. And also noted that, I believe Michael Cole and Taz brought up that Helms will have to defend his title every night, every week on SmackDown until he's defeated. Which is like, what the hell, Danny Long? What the hell?
Because nobody likes Gregory Helms.
That's just terrible.
Now
the exile from Raw is he's known.
Now it's time for the main event. It's John Bradshaw Layfield, JBL for short, versus Whit Finley, versus Whit Randy Orton, versus Chris Benoit, Lashley, and Rey Mysterio.
Say this again. It's JBL, Finley, and Orton versus Benoit, Lashley, and Rey in a six-man tag match.
Yes.
That sounds much smoother than what you did.
And no. It doesn't matter. Mysterio and Randy started things off. Rey went between Randy's legs to avoid a clothesline and did a hit a head scissors Randy into the 619 position. But Randy quickly tagged in Finley. Rey tagged in Lashley because, you know, Lashley had beef from the pay-per-view when Finley, I just wanted to say this word, hit Lashley with the shillelagh.
You just want to say shillelagh, huh?
I just had to.
Why do you want to say shillelagh?
I don't know.
Let's get back to the review.
Finley pounds Lashley with European uppercuts. Lashley whips Finley into the corner, and Finley gives him a thumb to the eye, but Lashley returns the favor with a backdrop. Lashley knocks JBL and Orton off the apron, and then spears Finley. JBL breaks the count, and then chaos ensues. Benoit has JBL in a sharpshooter when we return from the commercial break. Benoit tags in Lashley, and he bellies to belly JBL and lands a backdrop. Lashley spears JBL, but only gets a two count again.
Mm-hmm.
Finley lands the butt bomb on Rey, then applies a vicious headlock. JBL, he didn't apply, never mind. JBL delivers a boot to Ray's face while he's sitting on the mat. Ray ducks a big boot and lands a head sitter takedown on JBL. Ray attempts a crossbody, but Finley pulls the pulls the apron, which crotches Ray, and then starts to beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, he just goes to work. He's like, cha-cha.
Then
he shows he loves to fight.
Then Finley does the snake eyes on the side of the apron. Orton drops two big knees in the middle of Ray's chest and then applies that violent headlock that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, it was a very violent headlock by Randy Orton. He was just all over Ray. Like, yeah, he was pulling back. He was going forward. He was going to the left. He was going to the right. He was slamming his head down. He was, like, just shaking it to the side and just really just manhandling Ray's neck.
Ray recovers by hand scissoring Randy into the ring post. Ray tags in Benoit, who begins to clean house. He lands Germans on
What in every tag match?
Because he's
you clean. Have that same line, and it's always
Jesus,
death, bro.
You drug my keyboard because I told you kept bumping it. Because he is cleaning house.
Why is everybody cleaning house?
Because that's what he was doing.
Why can't you just say he just got the tag and he came in and started whooping on everybody?
Because he cleaned house. He gave everybody a German.
Now your desk is broke.
Because, man, fat boy, give me my mouse, give me my pad, and let's give me that. Come on. Give me the pad.
What else is? Oh, you
the
have a pad.
Yes, I have a pad.
A maxi pad.
No, that's you with your gay self. Anyway,
maxi pad, is that? No,
he delivers Germans. Can we get back to the match?
Let's go.
He's cleaning house, as I said before. He's cleaning up like a maid from England, I guess. Oh, I don't know. But anyway, he lands Germans on everybody in the ring, and I told Marcus I thought this would be funny if he had landed a German on one of his partners, but he didn't.
Because he was just on the roll landing on anybody. Anybody he saw back, he was like, hey, back. German.
And then he begins to assault JBL. He does this wrongfully. He lands a diving headbutt. JBL attempts a clothesline from hell, but Benoit puts him in a crossface. Finley comes in and breaks up the count, and he receives a German for his fortune. JBL is outside the ring with his head stuck between the stair and the ring post. Benoit, being the crippling fool that he is, comes over. He kicks the steps, smashing JBL's hand, causing an injury. Then he kicks JBL's hand.
And yes, this is displayed earlier in the news report of JBL's hand surgery, and which is not serious, but he's able to work around.
So JBL's back in the ring, and he's selling that hand injury.
Selling it? It is injured!
Yeah, but he's selling even more. And he finds his way in the predicament to be in a 619 position. Benoit tags in Ray. Ray lands a 619, does his little flop from the over-the-top rope. They win the match, main event. Overall, decent main event. Nothing special. Nothing too bad.
JBL was hurt. That's the special part. Lashley got beat up again, which is always nice. He, you know, got a little tough touched up. Not vigorously destroyed. Orton looked, you know, like Orton, you know, choking out Ray. They really set up their feud even more by them fighting each other all through the match. Pretty much when Ray was in, Orton was in. When Orton was in, Ray was in. That's the only people they fought. Lashley and Finley went at it a little bit. That was pretty good. JB, it seemed like they set up a lot of feuds in a six-man tag that's going to happen either at WrestleMania, Saturday Night Main Event, or coming weeks of SmackDown.
I think it's going to be Saturday Night Main Event.
But what?
Also, you know what? I failed to mention one important aspect. Before this match even happened, Teddy Long came out and said he wanted to thank us all for the fans for all the support. So next week on SmackDown, the rematch between Kurt Angle and Undertaker will take place.
Yeah.
I think this is where it's
for the world title.
This is where I think it's going to get screwed up, and Undertaker is going to be added to the Fatal 4-Way.
Told you, my prediction.
Since Teddy Long is in this Fatal 4-Way, and I can add people to
you
it.
You forgot to also add, before the match when Randy Orton came out, Teddy Long had threatened him to pull him out of WrestleMania after he said he can't pull nobody out of the WrestleMania event. He just threatened Randy Orton and pulled him out the main event.
All right.
Because he didn't want to come out and wrestle because he was afraid of the great Chavo Guerrero coming after him.
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
Wait, we got to give our thoughts on what you thought of SmackDown.
Oh, I thought it was an overall good SmackDown with not that much wrestling, but with more, we're going to establish the foundation for storylines.
Yeah, it seemed like this SmackDown, it had okay matches. I mean, the matches they had were pretty good. They were entertaining. But overall, I think they were just setting up more storylines. To set us up for, like, I don't know, a pay-per-view or something. Something that Raw seems to fail to do every week.
Exactly.
And the SmackDown was okay. Not the best SmackDown in the world, but one of the most entertaining on the entertainment side.
Okay.
Now, and I also feel that the, was useless.
Now, can I take my break?
Yeah.
Can we take the
Let's
break
take
now?
The break.
Okay, we're going to take the break, and we're going to be back with our top five. We'll see you guys in a few seconds. Now it's time for the Sharpshooter's groundbreaking, never duplicated.
It's not groundbreaking. We ripped it off from anybody else that has a top five.
That's true. So now it's time for our top five.
What the hell's my top five?
And we have to admit that our top five wasn't the most creative.
What you did
the paper? I don't know what happened to the paper. It's right there, right? When you knocked down a desk, I don't know.
You lost the top five?
Well, we can think of the top five off our head.
No, we had it. I had it all listed out in the order I wanted it. You lost my top five. There it is.
Well, Marcus has found the list.
You're damn right I did.
So, we have a combined list.
Because you're too lazy to do lists anymore.
Yes, it is. And because we couldn't think of it. It is now time, the top five things that they can do to make Mac Hardy popular again. Number five, Marcus.
Not popular. I think he's popular.
Or rework his character to give him some cred.
Give him something.
Marcus.
I will not die.
Okay. What's number one?
Because he dies every week.
What's number five?
At number five. Bring back the legendary Matt Facts.
God damn, where is the version one Matt Facts? I love this. Knowing Matt like eating peas and carrots and he doesn't like dogs and stuff made my day.
Yeah, that was great because I'm trying to take the top five
before.
Oh, well, anyway, I love the Matt Facts because the Matt Facts, because he is Matt Hardy version one. And he is the internet guy, but lately you don't see the internet guy anymore, but he still throws up the version one. He needs to go back to version one and have Matt Facts. He got to say, Matt doesn't like, I don't know, bubblegum shrimp or something. I don't know. Forrest Gump was overrated.
Or maybe instead of being version one, how about you upgrade yourself? It's time for an update.
I know, man.
It's time for an update, version one.
Is he still in beta?
I think so. He's still in alpha. Come on, man. Upgrade Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
Our number four. Pursue this tag team storyline angle of him pursuing partners, trying to defeat M&M for the belt. Because Matt Hardy, as much as you want to say, he will go down as one of the one of the tag team champions, one of the top tag teams in the history of WWE because of him and his brother, the Hardy Boys.
And they're a great feud with the Dudleys. And he could be like this guy trying to get tag partners week after week, and each week coming closer and closer to defeat Eminem until he finally finds that partner, which could be somebody with credibility that we probably forgot. I don't know.
I mean, anybody. Look, 1 week, team up with Scotty Too Hot. He's like, this shit ain't working. Team him up with Hiding Right, or he quit. Or team up with Lash. This keep teaming him up with somebody who ain't got nothing else to do. How about take some of the Raw guys that you guys aren't using and bring some of these guys?
I say
it's time for another draft.
I know. After this is like another draft. I say you keep going all the way until WrestleMania when the tag team title should be on the line, and then Matt Hardy finally has his brother. Because they have 5 weeks to do this, right? About, you know, that's all it takes. And then at WrestleMania, he brings out some guy. I don't know who he could be. I don't know. Bring maybe a legend or something. Well, don't bring Hogan. I don't know. You know, do somebody that's available. Maybe a newcomer from like Ohio Valley that's actually talented.
Well, they were actually talented. Believe it or not, they were going to bring up, I believe, the Matt Kappa knowing guy, but you know, his thing. Yeah. Know who they should bring up for Matt Hardy?
Who?
The Miz. From the real world. For the simple fact that he's already has some following. From what I understand, he's been wrestling really well in Ohio Valley. Why not team him up with Hardy? Let them have a little tag team run. Feud with Eminem.
No, but Matt Hardy needs a consistent tag partner. I don't think that he's going to ever make it as a singles wrestler because they're never going to get him that right push that he deserves.
It's one way that he can make it as a single wrestler, and that's our number three way that he can make it.
Yes, but anyway. He needs a tag partner. I think he should stay as a tag team wrestler. And come up with a real tag team. I'm talking about they have some type of name or something. You know, something like that I think will really help.
Have him disappear a while and come back as a tag team, huh?
Yeah.
Or our number three thing that can help him.
Become a cruiserweight.
That gimmick when he was a cruiserweight champion of losing weight, acting like he was not making weight, was probably the highlight of Matt Hardy's career. And the thing is, we all
know. No, it wasn't? Come on. You can't say that's a highlight.
Okay, a highlight of his singles career.
Okay.
And I would just like to see him. I gotta make weight. And you can see Gregory Helms. He's not a cruiserweight. You really hate me, Teddy Long. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, and I would. They have the opportunity in that when all former cruiserweights could participate, and all former cruiserweight champions could participate, they could have easily threw Matt Hardy fat ass in there.
Or
he could have been accomplished.
Or maybe how about we bring back the hardcore title? Let him be the hardcore champ or something.
Yeah, and you know that would have worked. I mean, he needs. A hardcore champion would be very good, but I think that would be more suited for...
Because, unfortunately, I have to say, I can't see him as ever being a U.S. champion. He's not up there. His mic skills are not at that caliber.
I can't see him even heavyweight.
But he's a good tag team wrestler, and he's a very funny cruiserweight champion. And, I mean, play off the internet gimmick. Find him another type of nerd guy. I mean, there's a bunch of tech fans that watch wrestling. Give him something like that we can understand. You know what I mean?
Bring Kevin Rose in. I dig Nation. He still looks just like him. Kevin Rose wears his
beanie.
I'm like, damn, that's Matt Hardy.
No, but I mean, like, and then like this, you give him a blog or a podcast or something from WWE. That way, you know, kind of like you did Mick Foley. You play off his internet gimmick.
Uh-huh.
Or stuff like that.
And you gotta do something with that.
And you want ready to go to our number
two? Let's go to number two.
Number two, and he should have did this shit last week. You become evil version one. You 1.5 evil version. You are a virus, you are a Trojan, you are a worm. You're something dirty, you team up with Eminem, you become a bad guy.
He becomes the worm on the virus.
Yes.
Spam.
I know. Spyware. He's spyware. Matt Spyware. But the point is, you make him a bad guy. As a bad guy, you'll forget. It's easier for people to forget all the matches that you have recently lost. Mm-hmm. And then, plus for you recently losing, you have a push behind you. A good example of this, Shelton Benjamin and his mama, the whiny little bastard that he is right
now.
Mama
boy.
He's getting over.
I don't know. Somewhat, but Shelton was better before he had the
mama. You know what? That was another thing they could probably do. Move him back to Raw. It's not going to make
If they ignore the Edge and lead a few things.
I think he can make a better Intercontinental champion. I think him and Shelton Benjamin can have very good matches.
You know what? I just thought about something. If you move him back to Raw, wouldn't it be just a shocker and a good surprise if you team him up with the Lita and Edge for one more run, and together they make some for a real faction of not getting what they deserve or something.
But I think, like, the best thing he could do was join Eminem. Let Melina have a faction where she managed people.
Go Jimmy Hart on half of them. Jim Cornette and Jimmy Hart, who had like 800 people on their side.
And what's the number one? Ready to give him the number one reason? One reason to get Matt Hardy back in good graces is to sign his brother Jeff. You call TNA. Tell them to release Jeff Hardy. We need to have the Hardy Boys back together. And bada bing, bada boom.
I say they should have made a negotiation trade. We give you the dicks, a.k.a. the toe lines,
and a wrestler to be named later if you give us Jeff Hardy.
And a money agreement or something.
And you know what? If you want, we can take Apollo off your hands.
because they really need to. Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy are not good solo wrestlers.
They need each other.
They need each other. They were a better tag team. They were better wrestlers because they were a tag team.
I mean, TNA tried to put Jeff over, but they really couldn't.
WWE tried to put them solo again. Didn't work there. When they separated the rosters, Matt was on Raw or SmackDown, and Jeff went on Raw.
And the reason why they worked so well, Matt is the technical sound one, and Jeff is the crazy one. When you have a sane one and a crazy person together, it all works together.
It seems like it that way. I mean, that's why most of the best successful tag teams always work good like that.
Okay, let's go back to our number 4, where we say that he could just try different tag team partners. How about next week, just to create the rut, he picks on Animal. He picks Animal up, and then he loses again like, shit, this ain't working.
And he comes closer, though.
He comes a little bit closer.
A little closer, but somehow he loses.
Or this, you know what? You can merge a couple of our things together. The tag team storyline with the evil Hardy, he keep getting these veterans, and they keep calling him a shot at the belt. And then
he becomes evil.
He becomes evil. He turns on him because he makes that secret deal with Melina.
Yeah, or something like that. Or maybe this is a weird storyline that I'm about to just guess.
This is the weirdest top five that we have ever done. But yet we are very energized over working over Matt Hardy.
Because it's more of a extreme makeover starting the show.
You know what we should do? We should, instead of having a top five, when we can't redevelop a character who has been dead. And that's what we're doing right now.
Alright, anyway, and with Matt Hardy, I say this would make a weird storyline. You know how Melina set up that challenge of we could beat anybody? What if Matt, and get this been news, is somewhat of a insider, you know, with them, but is making Eminem look better because by him taking dives in matches, being the gambler he is or something. Something like that.
Something like that.
You know how people, you know, the old Black Sox scandal of him throwing matches?
Yeah, exactly.
So he could just be on TV or something. Or be a part of the crowd. He's the reason why Eminem wins all their matches and stuff. And then everybody finds out that in that Matt Hardy's throwing matches.
So pretty much, this is our top five.
He should be evil?
Jeff Hardy, number one. But that ain't happening. Make him a bad guy.
Evil.
Let him pursue the Cruiserweight title again. Give him a better tag team storyline. And bring back the Matt Facts.
Yes, the Matt Facts have to definitely come back. Especially if he's evil.
I think you really need to play off his internet thing. He has a very cool following on our internet. And I am a version 1 fan. I just think it's time for an upgrade.
Yes.
He needs
a new knockout. He needs everything. You know what? They can actually... what happened to Hardcore Holly? Just speaking of, just thinking of Sparky.
You know what? You could put Holly in and watch him call in a tag team and it probably could work.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, he needs something. He needs help.
He needs something.
Stop destroying Matt Hardy. He has talent. He's proven that's talent. Him and Edge had some pretty good matches on Raw. He still has what it takes to get his ass whooped. But he should be able to win something.
Or at least have that. Because one thing that Matt Hardy does, and he did this when he was a Hardy Boy, he takes the ass whooping better than anybody else, and he lets somebody else come in for the victory.
Yes.
So, Matt Hardy, much love. We hope they do something with you. So, we're going to take our break, and we'll be back with our...
Wait. We should say this. If you have any suggestions on getting Matt Hardy's career back, please email them to Matt Hardy's website or to the show to you, when we were trying to send them to Matt Hardy himself.
Or if you have any suggestions so we can come up with better top fives, email them to thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Or if you feel that there's a wrestler who needs a character rework and needs to... What do they need to adjust and how can you make this guy better? Email us your information or something. You know, stuff like that.
So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with our listener feedback. We have two emails in our closing comments, and then you guys will be finished with us until the next episode.
Where are you? Right there.
Yeah. I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it! I mean, thank you.
Take it easy, man.
Thank y'all, guys. Y'all are awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said. I don't want to see it, brother.
Now it's time for you listeners to say what needs to be said.
Yes, and it's still real to you, Debbie.
It's still real to me. We will now call listener feedback saying what needs to be said.
Really?
I don't know.
No,
we received an email from Richard. He says he listens to the show every week. Keep up the good work. Woo. There's a little feedback. When you say you are taking a break, don't have the time, you are back right away, and no one can tell that you ever left. Marcus has pointed out this flaw to me numerous times, and I just never really cared.
The reason, look, this is playing the breaks. Because Eric likes to edit on the fly as he's doing the show. And, you know, instead of having to go back all through the show after we finish recording to find out little mistakes here and there, he'd go back during the show and edit there, doing our little so-called breaks. And the other reason we have breaks is that I need a drink sometimes, and we need to stop and, you know, pause for a little bit to catch our breath, because sometimes we be yapping about for a while and yelling and doing stupidest things ever, and I think we need a break.
As Anonymous said, we are the most yelling wrestling podcast out there. I don't care.
I think we are.
I don't care.
Because we're fools, man.
We're damn fools.
We're those fools on puppet strings that keep falling off. Well, anyway, and I also feel we need the breaks, because I feel that if you want to stop, like, I think Floyd, one of our listeners, said that when he stopped listening to us, he could find a perfect spot, like, in segments to find out where he left off. And, you know, it's easier that way if he could just stop at that segment. Like, say, if he just wanted to hear the news, he'll listen to the news, and we'll say we're going on break, he'll know he could stop there, and then he can go through the rest of the show, you know, take a break, you know. It's more of a conscientious, it's really meaningless on some parts, but I feel it's more effective than hearing us yap for like an hour and 10 minutes straight.
Exactly. All right, moving on to the next email.
It also helps introduce the next segment, pretty much.
Whatever. Is it time
separates
for
the segments.
Time for the next email?
It's time for the next. Don't you have any comments on the break? You are in charge of the show somewhat.
They are what they are.
That's what your answer is to everything.
Answer. That's my answer. Now we received the email from Ebert in Kansas. He says, first, thanks for the shout-out. Last show we read his email. He wants to know, why is Marcus so hung up on Jay Lethal?
Wait, hold on.
Let me finish reading his point. He was a jobber for the longest time. Marcus said that Mark Henry is useless. He's hardly useless. Angle is hurt. Orton sucks. JBL is fat. Undertaker is old. Batista is hurt. Boogeyman, come on now. So when you have no wrestlers, how is Mark Henry useless? When people say that Bobby Lashley was defeated for the first time, that's bull. He was pinned cleanly at SummerSlam. By the way, the Master Lock Challenge is bull too. Chris Masters wrestled Booker T on SmackDown a long time ago, and Booker T broke it. WWE really has a bad memory. Now, before I go to the rest of the email, Marcus, it's time for your rebuttal on some of his comments.
All right. Jay Lethal is talent, man. I mean, he's young, athletic talent. He's only 20 years old. And all I see when I see him wrestle is pure potential. I see a man that can actually carry the X-Men. And apparently TNA also sees it because they're giving him somewhat of a little push and putting him in the X-Cup Championship coming soon at Destination X. Now, I also see that I feel that Mark Henry is useless because he can't wrestle. And how many chances does this guy get? I mean, like 8 times. Can't they just bring up somebody else with the World's Strongest Man gimmick? Or just something else. I mean, they could have put somebody else in this feud. And I know they're strapped the wrestler. I don't think Orton sucks. Angle isn't hurt at this current time, but could be.
He is hurt. His neck.
Oh, he's hurt again?
He's been hurt.
Oh.
He's wrestling through pain.
Oh, well. And JBL is fat, but yet he's entertaining. He's fat, and I support anybody that is fat.
I don't think the whole email was right. I think just the first parts were.
Huh? Huh?
I think the first parts were just directorial, Jay Lethal and the Mark Henry.
Oh, well, you know. You sure?
Now, ask me.
Oh, Undertaker's old. Undertaker's old. This is also towards me. Undertaker's old.
You want it to be.
No, look. I think it's all towards him. Marcus said Mark Henry was here. This is when you talk about the Undertaker. You know, it all goes there.
Okay.
Undertaker's old, but yet Undertaker still put off a good match if he wants to. Even though he's old, he gotta play off the old gimmick, and I think he just can't be leaving off alone. This should be his last WrestleMania, in my opinion. I'm retired.
Okay, now, my thing, I'm about to answer some questions that Marcus refused that. Why is Marcus hung up on Jay Lethal?
Not I did
because,
answer!
No, but this is my answer for you, because I'm saying, he's not hung on him because he's 20, he's title. It's because he's black.
Oh, I'm putting it right
there.
Racist.
I'm putting it out there. The Shelton Benjamin syndrome. Jay Lethal is the Shelton Benjamin of TNA for Marcus.
What?
I'm saying
why
that.
Why do you always say it? I don't see race. I don't cheer either Skipper. I don't cheer Devon Dudley.
Because they're not young enough. And they don't do things
in
the ring.
I don't cheer Bobby Lashley. I criticize him.
Anyway.
I don't cheer the Boogeyman. I am not racist. I like
I'm not saying
Lethal.
That you racist.
You calling me a racial. I like wrestling sports because the color of their
I'm
skin.
I'm saying you like one reason why you like Jay Lethal is because he's black. I'm just saying, that's
that
one of the defining reasons.
No, it's not.
And then I agree with Ebert, Mark Henry is not useless at the point because he is serving his purposes and his matches aren't as bad as they were back in the day.
He is
serving as a whipping boy and he's whipping out stuff.
Yeah, but if they do another draft, he will become useless because you can put people, you can mix and match and stuff.
Mark Henry will not make it past WrestleMania, he is there. Now let's continue with the email. I am so happy that Candice Michelle is going to wrestle Trish for the belt. After seeing Ashley, who can't wrestle, break her leg, we are now going to see another diva that can't wrestle to take on Trish. Why is Candice wrestling Trish? What's the build-up? Candice will be employable. That's it. They have spent 4 months working on an angle with Mickie James and Trish. They throw it out the window and decide to let Candice Michelle wrestle for the title. This was such a surprise since Candice mentioned that she would wrestle Trish on the Tonight Show. Now my issue, because I let you go first last time, I totally agree. Why do you build up the Mickey thing? My whole thing is last week, Jack got accused of trying to assault Mickey James. We had not one mention of the freaking assault.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on with Candice Michelle and Playboy. And does Candice Michelle really need the title for this? No, she does not.
She has GoDaddy commercials.
Exactly.
Is that what you're going to say?
That's what I was going to say.
This is what I'm going to say towards this. I feel that they're not throwing out the Mickey and Trish thing, the situation. They just said Candice Michelle and Trish is going to fight for the title. Not at WrestleMania. They're going to fight this week on Raw coming up. They never said it's going to prolong a story between them. That's just the number one contender. Maybe this has something to do with the Mickey thing and something else is going to. Maybe Jack going to run out of something. I just think that it's probably nothing serious with the Candice and Trish. I don't think that's actually going to really be a storyline. I think that Mickey storyline is still ready to go.
All right. Then the last point he makes, finally, the ECW One Night Stand isn't going to be that great, guys. No Dudley Boys, no Rhino. Will Jericho be there? Just Incredible is working for MTV thing, so he's probably won't be there. No Public Enemy, no Eddie Guerrero. Terry Funk didn't want to be on the first one. Shane Douglas is detoxing. Stone Cold Steve Austin doesn't like the WWE at the moment. They fired Dawn Marie, and I hope she wins her lawsuit. Who in the WWE will be left? Tommy Dreamer and Axel Rotten. I just don't see how this ECW will be any good. What do you think? Y'all are still the bomb, Ebert in Kansas.
Now, is it my turn to answer this question?
Go ahead.
All right. I still feel ECW when I stand would be a good pay-per-view. Although Terry Funk did decline to do it the first time, I think maybe he might consider doing it this time. There's no question. He should. I think he should at least do it. You still got Fat Manwich out there. I think Mick Foley can have a match. Maybe they can convince Taz to come back for a match.
Taz is so out of shape.
Yeah, but he's on the mic on a few on No Way Out. He said he's trying to get in shape though. I don't know what that meant. Maybe he's getting prepared. You got Rob Van Dam, and I think you can have a match between Rob Van Dam and Sabu. Because Sabu is the only thing he's currently under TNA contract.
Yes, yes.
He's
making an appearance after Destination X.
Oh, I thought he was gone. I could have heard something like, ah, that sucks.
Yeah. No, I agree with Ebert. It's really skeptical what they can pull. They're going to have to pull a bunch of the mid-carders out that First of all, you can't get Spike Dudley. I mean, you might get Mike Awesome back and all that good stuff.
Mike Awesome Tanaka probably come back anytime.
But the thing is, like, I can see a main event maybe RVD versus Cactus Jack or something like that. I mean,
against Mysterio.
I just think that they have a lot in front of them to work out. I just say, let's let it take its course. It is in June. Let them network and see what happens.
I think that Paul Heyman is smart enough to know what he could do. I think he could... Hopefully he's still, like, in charge of the ECW when I say it. I hope Vince is not totally taking over this little thing or something. And I think he can come up with something creative enough in which he'll be able to pull this off. And I also feel that, you know, maybe TNA be generous and let the Dudley Boys, Raven and Sabu and Rhino and everybody else they have for the ECW locker room under contract come back and make, you know, for the one night stand pay-per-view. But they didn't do it last year, so I don't believe they'll do it this year. I feel they still got Mysterio psychosis. They still got a few, but I agree. Now that email actually did come up, and I didn't think about who is remaining, there isn't much.
All right.
I mean, you still got, like, the Sandman.
All right, Marcus, you kept talking. All right, it's over.
It's over. You removed the email and everything.
Yes, we read it. So we want to thank everybody who sent us an email. Please feel free to email us at thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Marcus, you have closing comments.
I told you still they're going to set up a Fatal 4-Way. I told you it's going to happen next week. It hasn't been official, but it's going to happen, man. I can see it, man. I can see it in the eyes. And it's going to be Undertaker's first loss. And I believe at WrestleMania, Randy Orton will become WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
And now, before I give my closing comments, I actually have closing comments for
change. Oh, wow. I don't. And you do.
Is that, please, the music provided for tonight's episode is from the PodSafe Music Network. Please check them out at music.podshow.com. The artist's name... Oh, the song is called Strive for Perfection, and the artist is J-Dox. If you like what you hear, feel free to check them out. We will have a link on our site. Now, as for my closing comments, please, we know we have listeners out there. Please email us with your comments. Please use the Skype voicemail thing or call the number. Please don't make me feel like that I wasted my money. There's somebody, if you email me or a voicemail, do something. It is a plea. That's all I
have. Are you trying to steal a hotline here?
I don't know.
I thought you had closing comments. I was really waiting for something insightful and meaningful, but yet you come out with spam.
All my insightfulness happened at the beginning of the show. But right now, I'm done. I am spent.
All right, let's get over the information.
Oh.
TheSharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email is TheSharpshooters@gmail.com. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. We got a link on the site. Also, the Frapper Map. I love the Frapper Map. Keep going there. I like seeing how global the Sharpshooters really are. And we are global because we got Scotland, Canada, and all over the world, man. We on the road. We also, you can write a review, short review on iTunes if you want. You don't have to because I don't really care about that anymore. That's how things work. And you can also vote on the poll. Are you excited about WrestleMania? Yes, no, maybe. It's too early to tell.
And you see how Marcus is? He's going to leave off the Skype because it's not his money that he worked for.
I forgot about the Skype.
You can call us and leave a voicemail via Skype with the username TheSharpshooters. That's DASHARPSHOOTERS. Or dial the phone number 310-928-6228. Come on, people. Leave a voicemail. Brad's the only one that did that. I really would like that to happen.
Also,
I want to hear what you guys sound like.
You're just spamming our listeners here.
I'm not spamming.
It's somewhat spamming. You want your money to feel like it didn't just go to some guy's pocket in vain.
So, pretty much, if you guys don't use it, whatever, at least email us. I would appreciate that. All right, so I'm Eric.
And I'm Mark. Are we forgetting something?
No.
Well, I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooter. We will see you guys for episode 48,
the sequel.
Sad when true creative geniuses are labeled as madmen, not fully understood, ahead of their time, ideas, concepts, and designs all dismissed from the pessimist perspective who have no definition for the term objective, yet and still, we must strive for perfection, for a direction, encountering rejection, at every turn. Some of us learn to take it in stride, while the rest keep it inside, pledging allegiance to pride and perseverance. We endure despite tremendous interference, odds insurmountable. Hold ourselves accountable only. We true pioneers like Shoshone Indians, but then again, men are hindering our progress, and the A&R are far less receptive, refusing to accept this. Their main objective seems to be imitate the next ish. Tried and true, proven, but why not attempt to outdo what the other man is doing? Stewing in our own juices, we soon realize that this exercise is a useless endeavor. Fruitless. Produces thoughts about whether there's a better way to do this. Screw this, time to grow independent. The only drawback is that it's highly contingent on finance. And since money doesn't grow on plants, reality stings like fire ants. But our craft is not abandoned, we keep advancing, and our talents keep expanding. No Pulitzers or Nobel Prizes, the need to create is what navigates and guides us. We choose to lead and not to follow, like the imitators who'll be biting us tomorrow. In the grooves we resonate, in slow-mo or solo, creating new moods to elevate our listeners. And I could care less about whispers from the critics, have a mind and knock them out like Lennox or Riddick. The sharp ones and true heads will get it, while the parasitic niggas are presented with the did it.